broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Isaiah, and we're in chapter 40. I trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word.
Well, he's not shocked. You might be shocked to you. And you ought to be, okay? You remember people used to say, how could you? Well, sometimes you have to say, how could I have done this? How could I have done... Listen, Jesus isn't shocked. And he's got his arm on both shoulders holding you, one on top and one on the side, just kind of stabilizing you. Because that is how much he loves you. If you're truly his child, he never leaves, he never forsakes. He was there when you did it. He was there when you saw that you did it. And I remember a song from Chris Rice, I'm smelling coffee. Birds are singing right outside. I'm like, wow, there's a good one, yeah. Because, man, yesterday it was bad. You know, but hey, the birds are still singing. Jesus still sings over you. Aren't you glad that's true? The Bible says her iniquity is pardoned. That's a big deal because when this was written, it was about a prophetic future that didn't even include their Messiah coming and him coming unto his own and being rejected. That was really ramping things up to a new level. As much as they bumped along, there was that still on the agenda. And God still saw fit to write this. For she, Israel, hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. That was the baffler, isn't it? I mean, you know, as believers, God doesn't make us receive double for our sins. You know, you were a sinner, you did bad things, you came to Jesus, he forgave you, you moved on. I think maybe in eternity we'll see how bad our sin was. I don't know that we often judge it by the right scale. So we feel like, well, at least I got that thing figured out. But, you know, what was the damage? What was the damage? Most of you have seen those times when somebody's poured some new concrete. Maybe you were that guy. You had to go over and step in it in the evening. Or you did by accident. It was marred and it was forever set in stone. Okay. Maybe you wrote your name in somebody else's concrete. Well, listen, we all wrote our name in somebody else's heart. And for some of us, we would have to hold our heads down a little bit and say, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I was the sinner. And, you know, for you and me, we don't realize how good we have it. I mean, he doesn't make us go through crucibles and presses like Israel has had to do. But they were our older brother. They carried a burden. This is why God's held them together, I believe. Because they were told to take the ark. They were told to take the Passover. They were told to take the feast. They were told to take all of that and carry it with them throughout their history. And they've done that. And they're doing it today. And they're back. And they've been back since 1948. They've rekindled and reconjured their own language, their Hebrew language, which was a dead language. But now they picked it back up, brushed it off, put it back into circulation. Their priests are there. If you want to do a neat search, go back and in your YouTube and look up Israelis gather to sing for their Messiah to come back. Because they're out there doing that. They're out there. I saw it last week. I'm like, there are all these people. I mean, it's a sea of people from behind. You could see the heads of people, all with their yarmulkes. It was all men for the most part. There were some women in there, but these were like young men. And they were singing in Hebrew. And they were singing about their Messiah coming. And I'm thinking some of those might be the 144,000. And they just don't know it yet. Because when the rapture comes and they see him whom they pierced with spirit eyes, as those who at the end of the tribulation will see him with physical eyes, they'll see him whom they pierced and mourn for him as for an only son. They might see it at the beginning. 144,000 Apostle Pauls set loose on the earth to bring multitudes to faith in Jesus. You know, everybody right now knows there's something going on. Lost people know there's something going on, don't they? Under the current, they know. There's a guy who's very profane. His name's Bill Maher. And yet he has, in recent days, even he has been a voice of reason. And sometimes they'll use a clip of his how he said, this is not right. We need to knock this stuff off or whatever. But in his career, he made a movie called Religious. And he mocks God and he mocks the things of God in that movie. But if you ever pick up the trailer, you know, the little preview they give you to get you to want to watch the movie, he's walking through an airport and some loud noise goes off and he's like, whoa, and you could tell. that he was afraid. Why? Because he's walking on a volcano. He knows it. He's walking all the time. People right now know they're walking on a volcano. I was at a place the other day, and I was going around an aisle in a store. This guy came in, and he was a young man, and he came around the corner, and I said, "Hey, just a little warning." He literally was a young man, probably no more than 22, 23 years old. He turns around, and he puts up both fists. He's like, ready to go. I said, "Man, you're ready to go, aren't you, man?" I was making a little noise so he'd know I was there. I said, "Hey, oh," or something like that. Even when I was like that, I'm like, wow. Do you think people are on high alert? Do you think down in their cores there might be a little tension like yours is feeling right now? Yeah, I think so. I think the Lord's Spirit's at work. I think He's working in people's lives. You could then talk to them about Jesus and they would deny, because the Bible says, neither repented they of their fornications, their adulteries, their murders, their sorceries. I say sorceries, you hear that? That's the Greek word pharmakia. It literally means drug use. You know that we had Oregon actually legalized the use of hard drugs, heroin, and legalized moderate uses of that. Guys, we're looking at neither repented they, right? Because why? Because once they kicked open the treasury, they began to give themselves whatever they want. Once they get in power, they'll begin to give what they want. And one of the things they want, listen, one of the things they want is they want blood. They want the blood of babies, and they want the blood of people who don't agree with them. There is a call right now to gather a list by Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez of all the Trump supporters so that they may be made to know they won't ever want to go there again. And there are people in our country that are gleeful. And even though there's a sense on the far left, and I'll say that because it's not Democrat. It's not really what it used to be, so I want to say the far left to kind of be conscious that some people aren't quite aware of what's going on around them. But on the far left, there's people still swearing and spitting and hitting and hurting. Even in Washington, D.C., when they're celebrating, there's things going on in the streets. It shows you what they want is blood. And when they get in power, they very well may have it. And it will start with the likes of you and of me who know Jesus and who believe there's a right and a wrong, because that's the unforgivable sin in our generation. You can't believe there's a right and a wrong, but you can believe this. Your warfare is accomplished and your iniquity is pardoned. And to this we can hold, that Jesus is our Messiah, that He has done it all. He's been our conqueror, and in Him we are conquerors. The Bible says in verse 3, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low, the crooked shall be made straight, the rough places plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. What you want to take from this is all really my first heading. Comfort ye my people. What is he comforting us with? He's comforting us with cleansing. With cleansing. He says your iniquity is pardoned. The warfare is complete. And when you take this all as one unit and you understand the comfort he's bringing down, he points out John the Baptist, voice of one crying in the wilderness. They missed him. But when they read this in the day when their eyes are starting to open up, during the tribulation largely, but people who get saved in the church age that are Jewish, they're going to say, "Well, that's it. Hey, yeah, John was here. We missed him." And he was preaching and he was talking about preparing the way. And there's more to it now because we're right at the cusp. I'm speaking in their shoes for a moment. There's more to it now because when it says crooked places made straight, hills and valleys being straightened around so everybody can get there and everybody's going to see the glory of the Lord. That's apocalyptic. That's what apocalypse means. It means unveiling and being able to be seen. Now, we can look back at all of Jesus' life as it's set forth for us in a large scale over in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and we can sit back and say, wow, amazing. Look what he did. Rose from the dead was the apogee of all of his work. I mean, he conquered the grave, but he raised other people from the dead. He healed blind eyes. He healed those people who could never walk. They were lame for their entire lives. He in his efforts and in his work on the cross did it all. And when he took care of all things, he was able to sit down at the right hand of the Father, pour out the Holy Spirit. When he poured out the Holy Spirit, we were blessed to have him as our constant companion, our comforter, our advocate, our paraclete. Now, all of the things were disclosed to our eyes, but in that day, they're going to see it for the first time, like the Apostle Paul did after he was arrested on the road to Damascus. You know, he's on his way, and God shows, and it beamed, and he, "Who art thou, Lord? I am Jesus whom you persecuted." And when he saw him, he was blinded for a season, and when he sit for a couple days, when Ananias came to open his eyes, he had all that time up in his own head, and he had a lot in there. He was a trained rabbi. "I just met Jesus on the road. I am Jesus whom you persecuted." Think about what was going through his mind. Brick to brick to brick to brick. Oh, man. And he couldn't even see. But he was seeing more clearly than he'd ever seen before as he put all the pieces together properly for the first time. As the Bible says in verse 5, "And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together." So we know it's going past the old, where John the Baptist came and preached, "Prepare ye the way, repent," and all that. This has gotten all the way down to the end of the tribulation, because all flesh are going to see him together. That's when they're all going to, all nations see, every eye shall see him. Book of Revelation, chapter 1. So we see him saying, "Comfort ye my people, cry unto Jerusalem and unto Israel," or Judah, he says, "and tell them your warfare is accomplished. Your sins have been pardoned." And that's a good thing. So cleansing is a good thing to be comforted with. Are you glad this morning you've been cleansed? I mean, that's ours right now. I mean, they're going to get it. But I'm just saying to you, that's comfort. I mean, this is a crazy day. And I'll tell you what, I don't have much, but I have Jesus, and that's all I need. I may not be able to have food one day. You know, it was toilet paper back in March. You think the shelves are going to go a little funky here in a little while? I think they might. You give the wrong people in charge. I mean, you're going to get fracking, and you're going to stop the oil production. Your gas is going to go up $4 or $5 a gallon. I mean, these people have not been unclear on what they're saying, right? They've been very clear. But I got Jesus. I've got cleansing. And he can move a deer out of the way in a moment's notice. Verse 6 tells us the second thing that he would comfort his people with. Verse 6 says, the voice said, "Cry." And he said, "What shall I cry?" He says, "All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, and the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, and the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever." I want you to recognize here what we have is the second thing you can be comforted by is the fact of his coming. Look what it says if you let your eye fall down in the section. It says in verse 10, "Behold, the Lord God will come." And I would read it all, but you know, there's so much there that I get hung up on this hook and that hook. There's a lot of good stuff here. What I want you to see is he's saying comfort, and he's saying cry unto them, for the Lord will come. In a word, the Lord will come. He cleanses us and he will come. He who will come shall come and he will not tarry. Isn't that good to know? And I think it's really kind of close. I think Jesus is closer than I've ever felt like before. When I see the entire United States brought to its knees over a germ and destroy its economy in 9 to 10 months, and has unseated a president who has been nothing but doing just basically the right thing. He's just been doing basically the right thing, protecting the babies.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.